And I hope you've been enjoying this series on being strong in the last days. And as we have been looking at this year, we are living in what the Bible calls the last days. The Bible says that the time is at hand. And we see world events leading towards and pointing towards the fact that God's word is true and the Lord Jesus Christ can come at any moment. And we will be facing specific challenges in our day that some in our past generations have not faced before, and we need the Lord's strength to face the challenges of the day. And that's what this series is all about. And the book of 1 Peter, of course, was written to Christians who were facing extreme and horrific persecution in the day in which they lived. And we will certainly learn a lot from what God tells us in this wonderful book. So if you turn with me there to the book of 1 Peter, we're still in chapter 1, amen. But verse 18, there's only five chapters in this book. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. If you'll look with me there, let's read from verses 18 to 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who is verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you," verse 21, "who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask for his blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for the truths therein, Lord, that are given from you to us, Lord, personally, so that we may walk in victory in the days in which we live. And Lord, the temptations are great, Lord, and the battle is raging more fiercely than often we care to admit. And Lord, we thank you that we are on the victory side. And Lord, help us practically to walk in that victory. Help us to understand the simplicity of the Christian life. And Lord, help us to rejoice in these truths that we'll look at this morning. And may they be life-changing to us as we face the challenges this week, as we face the temptations, Lord, Lord, we are challenged with. Lord, help us to be strong through thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning we're looking at the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as you can see, the Apostle Peter wrote to these persecuted believers to remind them of something wonderful. Now it wasn't something new. And when it comes to victory in the Christian life, you know, we need to remember, so often we think, Lord, maybe there's something I don't have. Maybe I need something more. Or maybe I've missed something, but oftentimes the Bible reminds us we just need to be reminded of what we already have, of what God has already given to us, and it's so often true that we forget the basics of the Christian life. Now we need to, as we look at these verses, we're reminded that there is no salvation in the Bible if we take out the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, most people today recognize that Christ died on the cross, that he was put to death by crucifixion, but most people don't understand why that took place. You know, many people today believe that Jesus is just one of the ways, don't they? They say, well, you believe in Jesus, just like yesterday a Sri Lankan man said to me, he said, I believe in Buddha, and you know, you have your beliefs and I have my beliefs. And many people just say, well, Jesus is just, you know, he's your religion and we have ours. Many people don't understand what Christ did on the cross. You see, if there could be another way to get to heaven other than the cross, then for Christ to die on that cross and to shed his blood was the greatest and most foolish mistake in history. There is no other way. Notice verse number 18. Notice the word there, redeemed. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, that's a beautiful word, isn't it? That word redeemed. Now that word redeemed, as you may have already learnt, is a word taken from the slave markets. During biblical days, slavery was a major trade, and it was a word taken from that trade to describe one that would be bought from slavery. That's what the word redeemed means. One that is bought from slavery by another. And God uses this wonderful picture, brethren, to say, hey, this is what has happened to you if you're saved. You have been redeemed. You see, if you're saved here this morning, there was a day that you stood, like I did once upon a time, on the auction block of sin. We were bound and chained to sin. We were headed to an eternity in hellfire. But the Bible tells us that God came down and he paid the price that was great enough to purchase us from that slave market of sin. Great enough to buy us back to God. What was the price that he paid? What was good enough for God whom we have sinned against that you and I could be bought back from our sins back to God? Well, what does the Bible say? Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That was the price, the great price that God paid for us. And this morning we're going to learn about being strong through his blood. How can we be strong as Christians? How can we be victorious in the day in which we live? How can we have strength? Well, we need to have strength through his blood, through his precious blood. We need to understand what we already have in Jesus Christ. We need to understand the blessings and the power of the blood of Christ. Remember, Peter wrote to these believers in the time of their greatest suffering. And he wrote to them to help them to live during this horrific persecution. And he reminded them, hey, don't forget, though you may be poor, though you may be persecuted, though you may be being put to death by the thousands, you are the most wealthy people on the face of this planet. Why? Because you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All right, Roman numeral number one. I know you've been waiting out for it, wondering what this blank is. First of all, we learn about the price of redemption. The price of redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. So your first blank is the word price. So Roman numeral number 1. Now again, if you miss the blanks, just at the bottom of the back page. Roman numeral number 1, verse 18. The price of redemption. Have a look at verse 18. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Now what does that mean? What is this corruptible thing? Well, corruptible things are things that waste away, things that don't last forever. And basically that's describing those things that are precious in this world, that the world counts as precious or expensive, but ultimately won't last forever. For example, money. You know, money doesn't last forever. How many of you understand that money doesn't last forever? It can come in, as the Bible says, suddenly it can fly away. And we think that we're all right one minute and then it's gone the next. You know, money is corruptible and it's made out of materials that will waste away ultimately. And, you know, gold is corruptible. These are corruptible things. Now, if you had all the money in the world, you and I could only purchase things that could corrupt. You know, if we were billionaires, we could only purchase things that could corrupt. Now, the first true American billionaire was believed to be a man named Rockefeller. And John D. Rockefeller was the richest man in the world during the day in which he lived. Now, by the time he was 53 years old, I found out that he was in such a wretched physical condition, he lost all of his hair. He lost the hair on his head. He lost the hair on his eyes and his entire body because of a nervous condition that he developed because of his greed for money. Now, Rockefeller himself said this. He said, "All I wanted was more." He said, "I had many millions, but they brought me no happiness." That was his testimony. Now, with all the money that this man had, the richest man in the world during his time, all he could buy was corruptible things, things that would waste away. And my friends, that is not enough to pay for man's sin. Man needs more than that. The Bible says we were not redeemed with corruptible things from your vain conversation, verse 18, received by tradition from your fathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, why does God say that Christ's blood is precious? Why is it so precious? Why does God describe Christ's blood in that way? Why? Because it's unique. Amen. There is no other blood like it. Christ's blood is precious because He is God. The blood that flowed from the cross wasn't just the blood of any man. Amen. It wasn't your blood or mine which is corrupted and sinful. No, the precious blood of Christ is spotless, the Bible says. Notice in verse 19. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ's blood is perfect. Christ's blood is sinless. Christ's blood is the blood of God Himself. The Bible says that Christ has purchased us with His own blood. God purchased us with His blood. That's why it is so precious. As John saw Christ appear at the baptisms that he was conducting, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And you see, the Bible tells us that He is the only sinless one. He is the only spotless one. That's why Christ is the only way to heaven. That's why Christ is the only way that we can be forgiven. As I was witnessing to this Sri Lankan fellow yesterday at the cultural group that were meeting here, and just invited them along to Easter, and he said, "I was a Buddhist." I said, "Look, you know, there are a lot of good teachings in Buddhism. You know, there are a lot of teachings that want to encourage you to be a better person and to try and do good. You know, there are elements of that religion that have some good moral teachings. But the problem is, Buddhism can't take away your sins. It cannot cleanse you from your sin. Buddha did not die on the cross to pay for our sins. In fact, there is a place where you can go today where his bones are kept, where people visit every year on annual pilgrimages. Why? Because he was buried, he died, and he's still in the grave. You can find his bones today. But you see, the bones of Jesus Christ will never be found, because on the third day, up from the grave, he arose, amen, when he conquered sin and death, and he paid for our sins once and for all through the precious blood of Christ. And let me encourage you here this morning as Christians, those of you who are saved. My friends, we are the wealthiest people in eternity upon this earth. Why? Because the greatest price has been paid for our salvation. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know, where would we be? Where would this world be without Christ? You know, mankind would still be headlong hurling into a place called hellfire. There would be no hope for the souls of mankind. There would be no Christianity. There would be no church of God. The whole world would be dying and headed to sin if it wasn't for the price that was paid by the precious blood of Christ. You know, as Christians, we need to value more what we have, don't we? We need to remember that we are not victims in this world. We are not downcast and wretched and poor and blind. No, the Bible tells us that we are on the victory side, and we are the wealthiest people in the world, not because of the money we have, and it's corruptible anyway, but because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our souls. We are the wealthiest people in the world, spiritually, because we have eternal life. Amen? That is the truth that will help you to walk in victory in these days. Because the fact of the matter is, if you live a godly life, you will suffer as a Christian. You will face persecution. You will face rejection at work. You will face a rejection among your family and friends, and we'll talk more about that later this morning. But the reality is, we ought to rejoice, because what we have is the greatest and most precious possession that anyone could ever have, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And my friends, that's the great price that has been paid for you. That ought to cause you to be smiling. Amen? That ought to cause you to wake up with a smile, especially when the challenges come. That ought to cause you to continue to rejoice no matter what happens. This is what these persecuted believers need to know. And that's why we need to give the Lord our all. Amen? He gave His all for us. That's the price of redemption. Now, secondly, notice what Peter teaches us about next. He teaches us about the plan of redemption. Roman numeral number 2, the blank is plan. The plan of redemption. Notice verse number 20. The Bible says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now here we learn about the amazing plan of God in salvation. Now as we look around the world, as we see it, the world around us, and the magnificent design and creativity of our God, we see an absolutely overwhelmingly amazing world around us. You know, creation is absolutely mind-blowing. You know, when we look at the fact that God created everything, and that you and I can't even stop one star from reflecting light or transmitting light. You know, we are absolutely nothing compared to God. We marvel in God's creation and how God created everything by His Word. But there is something better than creation. And that's what we are learning about this morning, redemption. Redemption is much better and greater than creation, because God planned to redeem us. The Bible says here in verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, that before there was ever an earth, before God created all things, it was foreordained, it was planned before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would die on the cross to pay for our sins. Now let that just soak in for a moment. God planned our salvation before He created the world. Before His creation, God planned our salvation. You know, when we hear ambulances driving down the street and police cars with their sirens on, we know that they're on their way to rescue someone, to help someone in need. And perhaps they were sitting in their office at one point, you know, if they were in a say a fire station, perhaps they were sitting in that fire station talking amongst themselves, having a meal, and suddenly the siren went off and down they went to the fire truck, and off they went to the location in need to rescue those and to help those in need. You know, that's not what happened with the plan of salvation. You know, God planned our salvation before we existed. And this is the wonderful truth that Peter speaks about here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, that God has planned our salvation before we even existed. That's how great His love is for us. That's how great His compassion is for mankind. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, there was a day and an hour set. And that hour dawned upon human history when Christ prayed in the garden and said to God, He said, "The hour is come. The hour is come." The moment that God had planned before the creation of the world had come. And that moment was Christ going to the cross for us. You see, before creation, God set a time and a place for Christ to die on Calvary's cross. And that's where He shed this precious, holy, sinless blood of His. And there on that cross, Christ cried out, "It is finished." and the sins of the world were paid for once and for all. The price was paid and God's plan was fulfilled. And it's an amazing, life-changing event when you get saved, because not only do you realize the greatness of the price that Christ paid for you, but also the greatness of the plan that we are involved in. Amen. We are part of God's plan of salvation. We are part of God's plan more than the unsaved person, because we have received Christ as Savior. Now, everyone can be saved, but once you are saved, only then you realize the preciousness and the love of God's plan for us. Do you understand how much God loves you, brethren? That He planned a time and a place for the precious blood of Christ to be shed for you. The plan of redemption. This wasn't something God thought up as an afterthought. Amen? This wasn't something God thought up after you had sinned. No, in eternity past, God knew exactly what would happen for all mankind. He knew exactly every sin that you would commit in this lifetime. He knew, in fact, the exact amount of sins that this world and this age and the age of mankind would commit. All together, He saw the entire picture, because He is outside of time. And even then, He planned man's salvation. You know, there are absolutely disgusting, perverse, wicked, and wretched things going on today. Sometimes we don't even want to know, amen? We don't even want to turn on the news to find out something that's worse than we heard before. But God saw it all before it even happened. God saw it all, and He planned the salvation of mankind. That is the greatness of God's compassion. That is the greatness of God's love. And you know, we don't deserve that kind of love, do we? We don't, at all. You know, the next time when you're frustrated with your life and you say to God, God, I don't deserve this, let me encourage you to flip that around and say, God, I don't deserve to be alive, amen? I don't deserve eternal life. Lord, I don't even deserve to have what I have. Some of these persecuted Christians may have been tempted to question, God, why are you allowing this? And Peter was encouraging them to remember they are part of God's eternal plan of salvation. They have really nothing to complain about. They have everything to rejoice about, because they have been saved by a great price, the precious blood, and by God's great plan of redemption in the cross of Calvary, foreordained before the foundation of the world. And we need to remember these truths, brethren. Every day we need to remember what we have in our Savior Jesus Christ, because we will face struggles and we will face trials. We will face difficulties and temptations and persecution. And so often when they come, we begin to complain and we begin to become frustrated and we say to God, God, I don't deserve this. I don't want this. This is unfair. Well, let me tell you what was unfair. What is unfair is a holy, sinless God dying on the cross and taking upon Himself the entire cumulative mass of the sin of all mankind over all history upon Himself, willingly, though He was sinless, a spotless lamb, paying for our sin. That is what is unfair. And when we have that in perspective, how can we say as Christians that that's unfair, what's happened to me? Or that is not what I deserve. My friends, we deserve God's fullest judgment. And yet He poured out upon us His fullest love. And I hope you see that in His plan of redemption. What a wonderful love He has for us. And by the way, once you're saved, He's got a whole lot more planned, amen? Absolutely. He's got a big plan for the rest of your life. But for the moment, for this morning, don't forget how He's planned your salvation. These are precious truths. Precious truths that must be kept precious to us. Roman numeral number 3. Our final point in your notes, Roman numeral number 3, the proof of redemption. The proof of redemption. Now, many people might ask you the question, how do we know Jesus Christ is God? How do we know, for example, that God, the Father, accepted the price that was paid? How do we know that He paid the price and it was accepted by God? Well, notice what we read in verse 21. Who by Him do believe in God. Notice this. that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, how do we know that God accepted the payment that was paid for us on the cross? Why and how? The Bible tells us because he rose from the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that God accepted the payment for our sins. That when Jesus Christ on that cross said, "It is finished, it is paid in full," how do we know God accepted that payment? Because after 3 days, and when he was buried, the Bible says he rose again from the dead. He conquered the grave, and he gave evidence to the fact that sin is now forgiven. Anyone can come and repent and receive Christ as their Savior and experience the full forgiveness of sins because he is risen. His resurrection, brethren, is the proof that God accepted the payment for sin. And there is no religion, there is no prophet, there are no religious teachers that have ever risen from the dead and have paid for the sin of mankind. The Bible tells us that Christ's payment was received by God. It was enough to save us because he rose again from the dead to give proof that the payment has been made. And we don't need to doubt whether his blood is enough to save us, amen? We don't need to doubt. You know, this truth should cast away all the doubts in your mind once you're saved. You know, the devil, once you're saved, wants to tempt you to think that you can lose your salvation because you might sin again, which you will. And you feel unsaved, you feel unworthy. We are always unworthy of salvation. But he wants to cause you and I, doesn't he, to worry, to fear. And what does the Bible tell us here in verse number 19? We are purchased, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How many of you this morning understand what God buys for himself, he will not sell, amen? He will not let go. When God purchases something unto himself, my friends, he never lets that go. We are purchased, we are redeemed, we are bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And my friends, we are not for sale, amen? Brother Hugh was sharing with me the other day, they had some JWs came over, and he shared some wonderful verses with them. This is another wonderful verse. When God buys us, we're saved. We're not for sale. We've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been bought from the slave market of sin. We can never lose our salvation. And we are not for sale. The next time the devil wants to tempt you about your salvation, if you're genuinely saved, you just need to rebuke him and say, "Look, I'm not for sale. Amen? I'm not for sale." The next time you're tempted by a specific sin, perhaps one that you continue to struggle with, let me encourage you to tell your old wicked sinful flesh, "I am not for sale. I am God's precious possession." You see, that is the proof of our redemption. That Christ rose again from the dead. We are his. Nothing can take away our salvation. That's a wonderful fact, amen. You know, as these believers face great persecution, they would lose everything. They would lose their life for Christ. Down to the very end, they would give their lives to Christ unto the death. But my friends, they didn't lose anything because they had the greatest possession that man will ever know, the precious blood of Christ. The greatest plan is what they were a part of. They could rejoice even unto death. And then they knew that there was proof given in the resurrection of Christ that they are saved. They are sealed unto the day of redemption. He is risen. And that's the faith we have and hope we have as Christians. Amen? Now this Easter, let me encourage you, as more people than ever are reminded about the meaning of Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we need to let people know that he is risen. And we need to let them know why he is risen and what that means and what the differences is between, you know, Buddhism and Bible-believing Christianity. You know, you don't need to yell at someone and put them down, but it's good for you to tell them, "Hey, look, you have your religion, but that's not going to save you from your sins. That's not going to forgive your sins. Though you may try to do better, as for example a Buddhist would, once you come to the religion of Buddhism, what about all the sins of your life that you've already committed? What about the sins that you'll continue to commit? Living a good life cannot change what you've already done. We need a payment for our sin. And guess what? Christ has paid by His precious blood. The greatest plan of salvation has been already set in place. And it has been proven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to tell the world. And we need to rejoice in these truths as Christians. That's how we live in victory in these difficult days. That's how we live in victory when we're persecuted. You know, the more you share the gospel, the more persecution will come. That's what the Bible tells us will happen. But we can live in victory if we hold on to these truths. And we say, thank God I can be used of Him as a witness. Thank God I can suffer for Christ's sake. The proof of redemption. Lastly, in verse 22, notice what the Bible says. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. So Peter speaks about the fact that if you're redeemed, if you're saved, there ought to be proof. The proof of our payment for sin was the resurrection of Christ, and the proof that we are saved ought to be a new life that we are living. One of the indications ought to be a love for the brethren, a love for other Christians. You see, there ought to be a proof in our lives that we are changed. There ought to be new desires. There ought to be a desire for God. There ought to be a desire for godliness. There ought to be a desire to love other Christians and to be amongst God's people. And people need to see a difference in our lives. You know, our lives are oftentimes the only witness that some people will ever know. That's why we need to let Christ shine through our lives. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be a love. You know, these believers, as they were persecuted, you know, banded together in a greater way than ever before. And Peter was encouraging to do that, for them to do that. You know, love one another. Don't let petty arguments separate you in your fellowship and relationships. Don't let foolish, sinful actions separate you. Forgive one another. Love one another. Let the world see the difference in your lives as you witness. You know, that is the proof of our salvation. And we need to show people that there has been a change. If we are saved, there ought to be a change. You know, we live in a cold, backstabbing, cynical, selfish world. Sure, some people may want to be your friends, but ultimately, most people want to be your friends because they want to get something from you, because they want something of you. And once you don't want to give that to them or that door closes, they don't want to be your friends anymore, especially when you share the gospel with them. And you know, many people, unsaved people, are tired with this cold and wicked world. You know, maybe they need someone like yourself to show some Christian love and to reach out to them, to show that there's a difference in your life. You know, people are looking for a difference. And the proof that God has redeemed us is the demonstration of a changed life that we live. Amen? So we must walk in victory. We must handle the pressures and the difficulties of our life in a different way than the world handles them. And we can do that because of the truths that we learned about this morning. The wonderful, precious possession we have in Christ. We ought to be the most joyful, happiest people on the face of this earth. If you're not, you've forgotten about these truths. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be glad each day because of Christ that we have been redeemed. You know, if you've been set free from slavery, how happy do you think that slave would be? How happy would they be? You know, we talk about the emancipation of period and the freedom of slavery at certain points in time, at certain points in history, in certain places. And yet, you know, so often we forget as Christians what we have been set free from. That's why we don't live victoriously oftentimes. Let me encourage you, brethren, to cherish these truths and to live in them each day and to thank God for them. And you will face the day with a greater victory. Amen.